Blog Talk Radio.
Today's early bird secret password is barn.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Thursday, March 7th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-7000. 0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Great show lined up for you today. We've got poultry scientist and professor, Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, will be joining us here in about 5 or 6 minutes. And we've got great topics today, embryology, incubation, and brooding. And she's going to give us a little review about how Cooptastic went last weekend. So great show lined up for you today. Just a reminder, tomorrow is Fun Friday, and we'll be giving away tons of prizes from our sponsors. So you want to make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll have some fun trivia that we'll be asking, and you can call in if you know the answer and win the appropriate prizes for the questions. So we're going to have some fun time tomorrow to get ready for this awesome, awesome weekend. So thank you very much for tuning in. I want to remind everybody about the Chicken Coop Contest we have going on right now. Right now in the month of March, brought to you by Brincy.com. Brincy products, they've got a couple of great coops that they've added to their collection of great incubators, added them last year. Two different sizes based on the size of your flock. And we're giving away the larger one that they have. It's a retail value of, yep, $800 plus shipping. $800 plus shipping to your front door. I have the smaller version in the backyard right now, and it is quite the coop. So it does include the run. So you're getting the bigger coop and the run that goes with it. Again, an $800 value. Let me tell you how to enter this contest. It's very simple. You don't have to like a blog. You don't have to comment on a blog. You don't have to like a Facebook page or any of that nonsense. All you got to do is send me an email, and that is your entry. How simple is that? Very, very simple. Let me tell you how to do that. Send me an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, that's contest@chickenwhisperer.net. In the subject line of the email, put coop contest. Okay, in the subject line of the email, please put coop contest. Now, in the email itself, I need three things from you: your name, your shipping address, and your phone number. If any of those three things are left out, it will be deleted and you'll be disqualified. One entry per household. So if you and your husband and 18 kids live in the same house, you can enter once. If grandma lives down the street, even though she doesn't want chickens, she can enter. And then if she wins, she can have the coop shipped to you. So very, very simple. Okay, lower 48 states only, lower 48 states only based on shipping cost. And again, one entry per household. The contest will end, the last second to enter will be on Thursday, March 28th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anybody that enters after that will be disqualified and deleted. We will give away the coop on Friday, which happens to be Good Friday, the 29th. You do not have to be listening to the radio show to win, but we will try to call the winner live on the show. If they are not available, they do not answer their phone, that is fine. They will still be notified by telephone after hours or through email or a combination of both. So very, very, very simple. So again, send me that email to enter, contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Chicken coop in the subject line of the email, please, and then your name, shipping address, and phone number down in the email itself. We'll see how many people can follow directions. I end up deleting quite a few, but that's all right. So very, very good. So that is the contest we've got going on. Hopefully you were on time today because we have another early bird secret password. If you were a good student and very studious and got into the chat room on time, then you heard today's early bird secret password. And a little bit later today, you'll find out what prize you're going to win. And if you call in and you're the right caller and you know today's early bird secret password. So, yep, it pays to be on time. So, all righty. So thank you very much for joining us today, all the folks in the chat room listening live, other folks listening live, all the homeschoolers that incorporate this show with their curriculum. We appreciate you for listening in. Over-the-road truck drivers that we hear from, thank you for tuning in whenever you can. And all the feed and seed stores and farm centers across the country that stream this radio show live for their listeners every day, we thank you very much as well. Alrighty, as you can tell, I still have a little bit of scratchy throat. I'm not sure why. I don't have a cold, not sniffling or sneezing or anything like that. Just feels like I have a little tickle back there, but we're slowly but surely getting over that. So thank you very much. And get over here to, yep, we do. Exactly. Perfect timing. We've got Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, small flock specialist joining us right now. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines and bring her on. She's going to give us a nice review about Cooptastic, which was last weekend. And then, of course, we're going to get right into our educational subject today, which is, of course, embryology, incubation, and brooding. So in the chat room and out there in Radio Land, let's give Dr. McCray a big round of applause. And a big welcome for joining us today. Welcome, Doctor.
Okay. Hey, can you hear me okay, Andy?
Loud and clear. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's fantastic. You're a little quiet on my headset, but I've got the volume up as far as it will go.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, I've got a little something of a cold up in my nose,
yeah.
So it's just like, okay, I'm going to take it easy today. I'm calling you from home, but I certainly could not miss speaking with your listeners today and sharing a little information about Cooptastic.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, it was last Saturday. And 10 a.m., everybody started to come in, and we got started with all of our educational programs. We had two educational areas running simultaneously so that we could cover 20 different topics during the day. So we had an impressive amount of information provided from both poultry professionals, ag extension agents, but then we also had some peers speaking to the small flock owners that came to Cooptastic. We had one farmer who takes her eggs to the farmer's market and talks about how she markets her products at a farmer's market and what she does to get people over to her booth. And then we had another panel talking about their experience with their diagnostic lab and their experiences with vaccinations for certain diseases. So the vaccinations weren't so scary after all that. So we had a great number of activities. Of course, we had the Mid-Atlantic Avian Bull Challenge. We had three teams participate in that.
That's my favorite.
And the same team that won last time, that you saw win, they won again. They're a long-time team. I think they've been together 3 years, so they've got it down pat. So they won chocolate chickens, of course.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I should have been there.
The 3-pound chocolate chickens made another debut at Cooptastic. And,
of course,
we had egg judging.
Right.
And Dr. Nicholas Zimmerman, whom you recall, you interviewed him last time you were at Cooptastic. He decided he would join us again, and he judged all the eggs. We had 7 dozen, two dozen of white-shelled eggs, and then the rest were brown-shelled eggs. And Dr. Zimmerman gave first place to the dozen where they were so fresh and of such high quality that when he cracked it out, he got a haul unit of 2, and he didn't believe it, so he cracked out another one. And he said, well, you got to give it to the highest quality eggs. They were clean. They were all packaged properly. And so top honors went to both Amber Green and her brother Thomas Green for first and second place with egg judging. Don't know what birds gave them those eggs, but I give them a little extra handful of scratch for a good job. Well done by those hens.
Now, you said that he cracked them open, and it was a two?
Yeah, a haul unit of two.
What exactly does that mean, Doc?
That's a measure of albumin height, which is a quality measurement. And that was pretty impressive. That means those were really fresh eggs. Quite probably laid that morning. I know some people don't have very big flocks, and they have to collect enough eggs to make a dozen over several days. And depending on your birds, their age, what you're feeding them, their quality may not be as good, or how you store the eggs, the quality may decrease as you're waiting for the competition to start, if you're storing them over a couple of days or you don't store them properly. So, you know, it's pretty impressive that they were able to provide such high-quality eggs. And, you know, they were white-shelled eggs, albeit. But he didn't give any preference to shell color this time. Everyone did a really good job of cleaning up their eggshells and put them in the carton so that the large end was up. I know that was a problem in years past. Some people didn't even clean the eggs, and they were just throwing them in the cartons willy-nilly. So those are all the things you have to really consider about when you compete with your eggs. Because you can do that at county fairs, state fairs, and other competitions.
So having an egg right out of the nesting box with the bloom still on it, maybe a little piece of poo here or there, in the most natural form is not necessarily the best way.
No, because you're aiming towards the customer when you're competing with your eggs. Because that's the customer may look at that and go, oh, look, there's feces on that. I'm not going to touch that egg. And so they feel that egg is a loss. They may not cook with it. And if they throw that egg away, they may not come back to you because they only really used 11 out of 12 eggs, and they really wanted 12 out of 12 eggs.
Interesting.
So part of it is consumer preference and what consumers like to see. And Andy, since I'm not in front of a computer today, I'm hoping that you will, if you spot any questions in the chat room,
sure,
you will holler them out to me.
No worries.
Other things at Cooptastic. Of course, I did my book signing, and so we had a few people come up and purchase books, and I signed the books for them. We also had a hen dress review. We didn't get any pre-entries, but somebody did show up the day of and wanted to participate in the hen dress review, and it was a really cute cape made with pink zebra stripes. Really cute. A little bit of lace for the collar, and some satin ribbon to tie it on there. It was really darling. She brought her silky chicken, and so we set her up in a pen, and she had no problem wearing the cape. You know how sometimes when you make things, the chicken may trip on part of it, and her design was really good. She worked very hard to refine the design. So all you sewers and seamstresses out there, making chicken garments takes a little thought to put into it, and this young lady did an excellent job. So she won. And then, of course, we had our chicken display once again. We had at least 14, maybe it was 16, I can't exactly remember, chickens on display, different breeds from the very rare Egyptian Fayumi to good old Sussex, speckled Sussex. So if people weren't sure what these breeds were, what they look like up close, you could go to Cooptastic and take a look at the birds and decide, yeah, I really do want one of those. Or, oh, geez, that chicken's freaking out in the cage. Maybe I don't want one of those, although it looks pretty in the catalog. It's nice to be able to see how these birds perform in person. I know a lot of people are quite happy with their leghorns. There's other people out there who, when they got their leghorns and saw how flighty they were, they said never again. But that's part of what Cooptastic helps you do, is make decisions on what you want to add to your flock. Of course, we had our vendors. I know you have a company that you're working with, the Chicken Fountain, right, Andy?
Right, yep, he was there.
And he came, yep, and he had his product there. Also, we had chicken coops, about six of them there, set up on display. They were small chicken coops. The theme this year was urban chicken keeping. So you could see how small some of these coops were if you really wanted to integrate it into your homestead, or if you were really thinking, gosh, that looks bigger in the picture, and when I walk around it here, this is really small. So it helped people make some better decisions, and you know, if they wanted to design their own, they could take a look at how other people had designed some of their coops and decide, you know, do they really have the skill and expertise to pull it off? Or do they just want to shell out the $400 or $300 or so dollars and just be done with it?
Yep.
And at the end of the day, what we did is we had a drawing for those chicken coops, so they went home with people. So if you come to Cooptastic, you will surely participate in some sort of drawing, whether it be for the Chinese auction, which benefited 4-H, or in this instance, when we gave away about, I think it was, five or six chicken coops. I actually can't remember how many I built. But what we did is we videotaped many of the chicken coops as we built them, and we will be posting them in the next week or so up on the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation YouTube page. And we'll put a link to that on our webpage that's at the university.
Great.
So that you can find us easily. And we also put together chicken waters, a couple of new chicken waters that are really interesting. We had the Bright Tap chicken water. We also had the Chicken Fountain. We had Clifton coops. We had Snap Lock coops. We also had Creative coops, My Pet Chicken coops. We had the prototype for the All-American coop from My Pet Chicken.
Yeah, it should be out.
One of my 4-H'ers, he was so cute. He says, Dr. McCray, I think we could call it the All-American Hen Coop. I'm like, oh, Santiago, that's cute. So he came up with the most clever name of the day. So the vendors ranged from feed dealers who were carrying local products here in Delaware, out to some national lines. We also had some, like Dr. Brown, Peter Brown, Doc Brown. He had his booth there. He's been with us since the beginning, and bless his heart, he also spoke at Cooptastic this year. He explained how to do hands-on clinic for vaccination so that people wouldn't be afraid of vaccinating their birds.
He joined us on Monday, Doc, and he wanted me to ask you something. He wanted you to share with all of our listeners today about his driving skills.
Oh, my gosh, the man has mad backup skills. I swear he could thread a needle. Because he pulled in there with his trailer, and he was one of the first to arrive. And he unloaded, and then he had to back out around some chairs. And I was just like, wow. I'm sure he was checking his mirrors all the time, but he made it look like nothing, really. So, yeah, he's got skills. I'll give him props for that. Whew.
Good deal.
And then lastly for the day, you know, it started to snow a little bit in the afternoon, and so we had snow flurries. Nothing really stuck to the ground, but, boy, it got cold. So we cleaned everything up and headed home, and, you know, it was just a great day. We missed you, of course, Andy.
But I loved it there.
Jen still ready to pop, or has
any
she...
Any day now, yep.
Oh, my. Well, yep. Good luck with your new pullet when that does occur.
Absolutely. I told folks a long time ago, we got one in the incubator, and then we went to get what do you call it, Jen? The sonogram or whatever you call it when you see it. Anyway, they were candling it. Candling Jen, see what we got.
Candling Jen, yeah.
Oh, we got a pullet that's on the way. So the hatch date's on the 22nd, but we may they may go in and do a C-section a week from tomorrow if Lily does decide to come ahead of time. So I told the doc, I said, now you know, we preach not to help the chick out. You know, we always that, that don't help the chick out, so we need to, you know.
Nice.
Kind of funny, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to share those results of Cooptastic with you, and then get started with the embryology portion of today's talk. So. Embryology, you've helped many a classroom put together hatching projects, right, Andy?
Absolutely. Love it. What a great...
And, of course, there's sections in our book that you can use to help you get started with incubation and brooding. I really recommend that folks read those chapters in preparation for springtime hatching season. But since I know some of your listeners out there are homeschoolers and homeschool students, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the science of embryology. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I'm sure everybody has their Chicken Whisper notebooks out that they're taking notes.
So whenever you add the word ology, what does that mean?
The
like
process,
biology.
Yeah, the process embryology. Of, I guess, is the process of, like,
the science
of yeah.
The mm-hmm. study of, yes. So the study of embryo growth and development really is complex, and you can get really, really detailed and really get into it, but I'm going to look at it more from a poultry perspective, more than the molecular biology perspective, and share that information with your homeschoolers. But if you really are interested in this field, the science of embryology gets really deep and detailed into, okay, how do all embryos develop? How does a set of cells know to make a wing and not an arm? How does a set of cells know to make a beak and not a face? So there's a lot of detailed information out there. And for those who are a little bit older or who have a tendency towards video games, I'm going to put a teaser out there for you homeschoolers. I want you to learn about a particular set of proteins called Sonic the Hedgehog. Yep, you heard it. There's an actual set of proteins out there that trigger certain activities to take place in an embryo. And somebody who discovered it really liked video games and named it Sonic the Hedgehog. So your job out there is to find out what that does to an embryo when it activates. It's really kind of cool.
I don't know. I guess it is kind of cool. The first word that came to my mind was nerd. Sorry.
Not really. But it gives you something to do after the show to check out that, you know, even scientists have a sense of humor. And yes, some of us scientists do like video games. It'll translate into something you have to study. And if I'm a student, I'm going to remember the name Sonic the Hedgehog rather than protein AB2317, you know?
You got a point there, I guess.
So, and actually, it's an important enough of a protein that it creates another activity that they nicknamed Son of Sonic. So, you can really go pretty far with this. But let's talk about embryology as it relates to chickens and chicken eggs. So, when a chicken lays its egg, of course, she can start sitting on that chicken egg for 21 days until it hatches. And that egg, if everything went correctly, was fertilized inside the hen. And then, of course, the albumen was put on, the shell membranes were put on, and then the eggshell was put on, and the egg left her body. And when she has enough eggs in her nest, what she does is she sits on them for 21 days. And all sorts of changes take place almost on an hour-by-hour basis. We have it down to what happens to that embryo as it grows. We know in the first day or so, we have a lot of major changes that take place in embryo development. But of course, a lot of development does take place. A lot of dividing and growth of cells takes place before that egg even leaves the hen. So fertilization takes place inside the hen. Division and growth of cells occur, and some of those cells segregate into groups that have special functions before that egg even leaves the hen's body. So that may help some of your listeners understand what is taking place inside that hen if she's with a rooster or has been fertilized, bred with a rooster. All that can take place before that hen lays your egg every day. Now, not all hens sit on eggs. Not all breeds are really broody and sit on eggs. And so you may have to go collect that egg and keep it in cold storage before you're ready to put it in the incubator. And virtually no growth takes place as that temperature is really low. And it kind of goes into a stasis. No growth will take place while you keep it at about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. But once you put it into incubation, once you put it inside an incubator, in day one, the blastoderm, which is the genetic material in the yolk, at 18 hours, under a microscope, you'll see the GI tract. At 19 hours, you're going to start to see the brain crease. At 20 hours of being in the incubator, you start to see the vertebral column. At 21 hours, that's the beginning of the formation of the brain and nervous system. So that first day when you put that egg into your incubator, in 21 hours from the time you put it in there, that's when the brain and nervous system begins to form. At 22 hours, the head starts to form. And at 23 hours, that's when you start to see the very first blood islands. So blood, not something you're necessarily going to see inside the egg before you put it into the incubator. And at 24 hours, that's when the eyes begin to form. Pretty amazing, huh, Andy?
Yeah, in the chat room, they were saying, Poet's wife says, oh, that's going to be my new cuss word for the day. Oh, blastoderm.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good term.
You stub your toe. You stub your toe. Blastoderm.
Blastoderm. Okay, so let's talk about dig two. It's really unique that almost all embryos on the planet Earth on day two, or at some point in their development, like say if it's a human or an elephant, it's going to be not on day two. It's going to take a little longer. But they tend to turn to their left side. They all do this. Really cool, huh?
Yeah.
Then you start to see blood vessels develop in the yolk sac. When you've got... At 25 hours, that's when you start to see the veins and the heart under the microscope. At 30 hours, you see even greater development in the brain. At 35 hours, you start to see the little ear pits. And at 36 hours, you start to see the amnion develop. And I need to explain some terms to you all. There's several membranes that develop in the egg. You've got the yolk sac. That's basically a layer of tissue growing over the surface of the yolk, and it digests and absorbs the yolk material so that the chick, you know, sustains itself. The yolk doesn't, you know, it's a sac that covers the yolk, but then that also gets pulled into the chick's body. The entire yolk gets pulled into the chick's body just before it hatches.
Uh-huh.
So that's how the chick uses the yolk material to develop. Then you have an amnion, A-M-N-I-O-N. And that's a transparent sac that basically, it's a protective cushion that surrounds the embryo as it develops. It allows the embryo to exercise so the embryo can move around. It equalizes pressure, and there are special muscles that develop in the embryon. That the embryo, gently agitates the amniotic fluid. Then you have the chorion, C-H-O-R-I-O-N. And that's a container for the amnion and the yolk sac. It really doesn't always seem like it has a function at first, but then the allantois, which I'll describe in just a moment, fuses with it to create the chorionic membrane, and that goes out and brings capillaries into direct contact with the shell membrane, and that's how it kind of exchanges oxygen with the outer world through the pores in the shell, and it also kind of uses the calcium carbonate from the shell to help build some of the bones, so it absorbs some of the calcium from the shell. And then the allantois, it's a big one. It's got four functions. It fuses with the chorion and acts as the respiratory organ. It receives the excretions of the embryonic kidneys. So it also absorbs the albumin. And it also helps to absorb the calcium from the shell when it works with the chorion. So there's a lot of stuff that takes place in there. And if any of you young people ever have the opportunity to, when you go to college, to take an embryology class within a poultry science department, get ready. It's a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of detailed stuff. And if you ever get to TA a class like that, that's a great experience too, teaching others how to prepare and how to incubate the eggs to a certain time so you can see all these stages taking place.
I think you need to talk to your department, talk to your department head and your school, and think about the extra income they could make and the little bit of investment they would have to make to put a really nice webcam system in your room, and then, you know, some of our listeners, including myself, could take some of your classes. There would be a fee for that, even if we didn't really want to go for the degree program, but maybe we wanted to attend the class every single time, and there was no, just to get educated, then there would maybe be a fee. Okay, this semester it's $500, and you'll have, you know, you can log on anytime you want or don't want, but it's prepaid, $500, and you can log in every day at 12:30 during embryology or whatever. And we can, and you know, at least you know, get educated with a lot of that stuff. I think that's a great idea.
It's such a different experience to actually learn the techniques for removing the embryo and you know, doing some of the dissections. You know, of course, none of these embryos are alive when we're doing this, but actually learning the techniques and identifying these different things, sometimes that just doesn't translate through a camera lens, Andy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean...
And a microscope is key to this entire process.
Okay, so introductory to poultry science then, or just, you know, the whole theory of that, you know, whether I know it's not going to replace the lab or hands-on if you're doing a necropsy or something, but it would just be pretty cool. I bet a lot of people would volunteer to do that.
Well, you're near UGA. I'm sure you could take a class or two there.
Kind of, sort of.
You're a little busy doing other things, I know.
but anyway.
Running a radio show and all.
I've always thought about that with the, I wish we could, I could sit in and document one of Dr. McRae's classes when she's doing Introductory to Poultry Science. I mean, that would be just the cat's meow to be able to,
I definitely would need a TA then, because I don't know how a lot of those cameras work.
So, no worries.
So, let's talk about day three. We talked a lot about day one and all the crazy amounts of stuff that...
Hello? Uh-oh. We might have lost her. Let's see. She might have got disconnected. I think she did. I don't know if she's calling on her house phone or her cell phone. So, I'm sure she'll figure it out and then she'll come back. And so, we'll go to break. But we'll be back with Dr. McRae.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
Alrighty, we are back. Sorry about the technical difficulty, but we fixed the problem apparently, and Dr. McCray is joining us again. How about that? I was quick on the draw there. She just all of a sudden disappeared, and I went, well, I'm not sure what happened, but we'll go to commercial break. Bam! I mean, I was on the ball at that point, so that ran kind of smooth, even though we lost her for just a second. But we
sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
We got you back. No worries at all.
Well, where did I leave off?
Okay, let me look in the chat room here and see what when she was. God, let me think what you were talking about. You were talking about.
Was I on day 7? Had I talked about feathers yet?
I'm trying to think if you the beak is what, day 5, day 3. They're saying you were on
day
3.
Day 6. Okay.
Okay, I was close, but yeah, day 3. They said in the chat room.
So after about a week of incubation, and I'm sorry about that, folks. I really don't know what happened. I thought I was still connected to y'all. So at day 7, when most everybody incubates their eggs, the embryo can move on its own. You start to see, if you're looking at the embryo, you're looking at the legs and the wings. You start to see the little digits. And on day 8, that's when the feathers start to form. So when you're looking at those baby chicks, when you're candling them, they don't even have feathers yet. On day 9, that's actually when the embryo starts to look like a bird rather than just any other kind of embryo, because many embryos look very similar up to one point, and then it starts to look like the animal that it stems from. Day 10, the beak begins to harden. You start to see skin pores. The digits are totally separated. Day 11, that's days 10 and 11 and 12, they really run together because they're just, growth that's taking place. On day 13, that's when you start to see scales and claws, and you can really see some feathers. Day 14, so that's 2 weeks into incubation, the embryo turns its head towards the blunt end of the egg or the large end of the egg. Day 15, the small intestines are taken into the body. Day 16, the scales and the claws and the beak start becoming firm and kind of a horn-like material. And the embryo is fully covered with feathers. And day 17, the beak turns towards the air cell. And the embryo starts to prepare itself for hatching. And day 18, there's just mainly growth. Day 19, the yolk sac draws into the body cavity through the umbilicus, and the embryo occupies a large amount of the space inside the egg. Day 20, it just gets bigger. The yolk sac completely is drawn into the body. The allantois stops functioning and starts to dry up. The chick is starting to talk to each other, its friends a little bit, breaks into the air cell ahead of that time, and then day 21, hatching.
Now, of course, it's known, I guess, if the temperature is a little bit warmer, they may start hatching earlier,
mm-hmm.
or if it's a little bit cooler, they may hatch later. So based on if it's a little warmer, I'm thinking,
if you have an incubator that has a fan in it and mixes the air, you want your incubator to be running at 99.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you're half a degree hot or cold, it can speed up or slow down hatching. And it's really quite the science. We've figured out a great deal about hatching. And so you want to make sure that all your equipment is running properly. Prep your incubator ahead of time. Make sure it's working. Have spare equipment on hand. And, like if you're using a thermostat wafer, you want an extra one of those in case yours breaks during the hatch. But on
if you're using
21,
if you're using a vanilla wafer, you want to make sure you don't eat it ahead
no,
of time.
No, don't eat it ahead of time. It might be a little moldy at the end of incubation.
Two questions.
So be sure to clean it or get a new one.
Two questions in the chat room. Doc, what if the yolk is not drawn in? What causes that?
Lots of things. It's usually the chick is defective.
Okay.
And so you don't want
chicks
to breed that chick, and you certainly want to make sure that chick is put down.
Okay.
There's really no saving a chick.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I had a couple of defective chicks in my day, but I divorced them, so it happens. Okay, another one. Is it true that there's about 3 hours of air in the air sac?
No, there's more than that.
Okay.
Because remember, there's pores in the air cell.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually some air exchange going on.
Okay, good. I'm trying to see if there are any other more right in here, and there's not, so we'll continue.
So if you're preparing for your baby chicks to hatch, the day before your chicks actually hatch, what you want to do is prep your brooding area. Make sure you have everything ahead of time. Maybe a couple days earlier, you want to make sure you have chick starter and some shavings or whatever it is that you use for your brooding area. And then the day ahead of time, you want to turn everything on. Turn the light on, put the thermometer in there, watch the temperature, adjust the height of the light so that it meets your needs. Put a thermometer in there, make sure your thermometer is working. And then, take a good look at all your equipment. Is your water leaking? Is your feeder broken? Well, go get the replacements. And right before you put your chicks into your brooder after incubation is complete and they've all hatched out, you want to add the water because you want the water to be cool and clean and fresh. Sometimes under certain heat lamps, depending on your setup and where you have it, that heat lamp can really make that water hot. And the chicks aren't going to want to drink it. And you want your chicks to drink as soon as possible. So having feed in there, and feed temperature really isn't important. The water temperature is. So when your chicks are hatching out, as many of you listeners out there know, they are wet, they're confused, and they roll around a whole bunch. So they're going to have to stay inside the incubator for maybe a day so that they dry out. And once they're dried out, then you can move them over to the brooder. And when you put your first chick in the brooder, make sure he's got a friend that goes with him, because they're never really happy if they're alone. So when you move your chicks from the incubator into the brooder, you want your incubator to be open for a very short period of time, because I'm sure you have other chicks hatching out. Or you could just wait for everybody to hatch out and move them over at once. You dip the chick's beak in water and then food. And when you dip their beak in water, you want to lift them up and make sure you see them actually swallow. And then, since their beaks are wet, feed sticks to it. And you're going to see them pick the feed off of each other more so than picking it off their own beak or going over to the feeder. And then you just watch them for a few days and make sure everybody's actually eating and drinking. It is kind of a form of meditation, I think, for some people, is just watching baby chicks run around and do their thing.
Yep.
And then you can just, decrease the temperature 5 degrees Fahrenheit each week thereafter.
And monitor
so that
place
in week two, you'll have 90 degrees instead of 95. In week three, it'll be 85 degrees Fahrenheit. And then just go down until it matches the temperature outside or they're fully feathered.
And monitor for pasty butt.
Yes. And, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. Although, for the most part, baby chicks do a good job of hatching out on their own. If you're breeding your own birds, you want to make sure your breeder flock is on, has plenty of vitamins and minerals in their diet, and you're not feeding old feed. You want to make sure your incubator temperature is up to snuff, and watch your humidity like a hawk, because you don't want your chicks to start hatching out and then dry to the inside of the shell. So you want your incubator humidity to be higher during the time of hatching.
Here's a popular question that we see a lot. Does altering the temp higher or lower have any effect on the sex of the baby chicks?
No, I'm sorry.
Yep.
It doesn't. They've tried to do that study, and they found out no effect. Sorry.
How about the wives' tale of, well, the more pointy eggs will be males, and the more round eggs will be females?
Yeah, no. Sorry, this isn't the genetics lesson, but maybe that's what we need to cover later on in the year, the genetics lesson.
I love that. You don't hear that much. You don't hear that much from a PhD. No.
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 Well, so, yeah. You don't want me to lie to you, do you?
No, I love it. It's great. Yep.
One of my coworkers, he's like, you hang a nail over the chick's head. And I'm like,
Yeah.
What, so you can drop it on him? What does that do? Let me tell you, I can tell from the blood what it's going to be. Not a nail.
Oh, my gosh.
Or you just let it grow up and see what it is.
Yeah, that's the best. If it crows, it is a male. If it's laying, it's a female. And you'll know it about 20 weeks.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andy, for allowing me to share this information with your listeners about the science of embryology. And for you teachers out there, there's lots of little experiments you can do with your students, homeschool
yes.
or not. The 4-H program has some pretty darn good embryology in the classroom series that I will recommend. There's a helper's guide that would help the teachers put together any experiments, like building a brooder is one of them, or you can actually, there's a game inside of it. And I found that a lot of the homeschool teachers really like it, because inside one of them there's also a really good pull-out poster that shows a few of the different stages of incubation. So you can see actually how big the eye is.
Cool.
In relation to the rest of the body. So,
very awesome.
There you go.
Thank you for joining us. As always, it's great information, embryology, incubation, and brooding, and all that development and all that good stuff. And we learned about the hedgehog today as well.
Oh, cool. Yes.
The hedgehog,
make sure your students look up what Sonic the Hedgehog is with in relation to embryology. Not the video game.
Exactly. All righty. Well, hey, thank you. Here's one quite last question.
One
here,
more
Connie
question?
Asked. One more, and then we're done. Is sand okay to use in the brooder as the bedding?
Sand has been researched for bedding for chicks, and it does work. Some of the chicks are not very smart, and they eat it.
Right.
So, you know... That's a little way to weed out the not so smart ones, but you know, honestly, it gets really heavy. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It gets heavy, and it gets heavy fast, because it just, you know, nowhere for the water to go. So just be aware that it's going to get heavy, and if you're using like a brooder box,
mm-hmm.
you know, get ready.
Very good. Hey, thank you so much. Hey, get to feeling better and take care of that
thank
little
you.
Cold. And we'll see you back here in a couple of more weeks. Thank you very much, as always, Dr. McCray.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep, always great information when Doc comes on. Very informative, and you can hear her on the first and third Thursdays of every single month here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, let's see. I had some people claim in the chat room. After the show's over, I'll go back and listen to the archive and see if there's any concrete evidence to this claim. But they said that they did not hear the theme song and they did not hear the secret password. But I'm just going to see. We'll open the phone lines up right now. If you were a good studious student and were in class on time when I closed the door and the late bell rang, You heard today's early bird secret password. If you know today's early bird secret password, go ahead and give us a call right now, 347-637-3237. We'll take the very first caller. If you heard, and in fact, if you did hear the secret password, it will put to rest and put to bed all the rumors in the chat room that Blog Talk Radio blocked my theme song and the early bird secret password. So let's see if anybody calls in. Let's see if anybody got the early bird secret password. Don't be afraid to call in. And if nobody calls in, then maybe when I go to listen to the archive, there will be some concrete evidence that the early bird password was not announced and the show theme song in the beginning was not played. So we'll see. And if that's the case, we'll just wait and give these prizes away tomorrow. No worries there. We'll have plenty of time tomorrow to give away tons of prizes from our sponsors. So no big deal. 347-637-3237 is the number to call. We'll see if anybody calls in, if who was here on time or early. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. And if nobody calls in and got the early bird secret password today, then we'll save that prize for tomorrow. And then I'm going to go, can we call in and guess? That's a lot of English words in the dictionary there. Let's see. So we'll just save the prize for tomorrow. No big deal at all. Don't forget, tomorrow is Fun Friday. We will have some awesome fun trivia. The last few Fun Fridays have been awesome. We've had a lot of good times, a lot of laughs, a lot of smiles, a lot of giggling, and it was fun and a lot of prizes given away. So hopefully you can tune in tomorrow, same time, same Chick channel, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow for a Fun Friday. We tell you folks that Christmas Chick. Was the secret word Christmas? No, the secret password wasn't Christmas, but it was said. That's kind of our daily secret password, if you will. So, not a big deal. We do that occasionally. If I get through a radio show and not play that, something seems to be wrong, or everybody in the chat room just forgot to say Christmas during the show. So, no worries. Hope y'all have a fabulous day. It's beautiful. It's probably about 65 degrees here today. Woke up this morning, was outside, probably around quarter of eight, 7:45, was probably outside and cleaning out the barn, doing some spring cleaning. So just there's nothing in the barn now, and we're about to put everything back in the barn and take a load over to the dump. So no, oh, in case you were wondering, the password today was barn. It was barn. So, but hey, no worries. I'm going to go listen to the archive as soon as it gets archived. Normally it's archived in about 20 to 30 minutes after the show, maybe sooner. I'm going to see if they didn't play my intro and didn't hear the secret password. If they did, then they'll be heck to pay tomorrow, ladies. Hey, y'all have a great one and tune in tomorrow. We're going to have a fun time, fun Friday, lots of prizes, lots of jokes, lots of chicken trivia. And then next week, next Monday, we'll get back to learning all about backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, and cooking. And, oh, I'm very close. I think one day next week we will have kind of a multi-talented young lady join us. If you want to define her as a prepper, chef, coupon cutter, money-saving guru. Yep. And so maybe next week, we've been trying to have her on now for a while. Maybe we'll have her on soon. But yeah, it's the prepper, preparedness, money saving chef, coupon clipping guru. So hopefully we can have her her on pretty soon and start having some shows with her. Maybe it'll happen. So have a great day, everybody. Love you all. And we'll see you tomorrow right here, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, if our theme song didn't play at the beginning of the show, it's going to play now. I guarantee you.